السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، الحمد لله رب العالمين، اللهم صل وسلم وبارك على سيدنا محمد بن عبد الله النبي الأمي وعلى آله وأصحابه وذريته وأزواجه ومن اهتدى بهديه ومن والاه. ثم أما بعد، أسأل الله أوقاتكم ونور قلوبكم عن الإيمان والإسلام والإحسان، وبارك لكم في هذه الساعات القليلة المباركة الباقية من شهر رمضان، شهر الله وشهر القرآن وشهر أهل الله وخاصته. So alhamdulillah, we're nearing the end of Ramadan. This is our last session for looking at some of the meanings of the verses of the Quran. And we are up to the 30th, the last juz of the Quran, where we find that here we have the shortest surahs in the Quran, and also all of the surahs in the last juz are Meccan in origin. They were revealed in Mecca, except for Surah Al-Nasr, إِذَا جَاءَ نَصْرُ اللَّهِ وَالْفَتْحِ. And there's a difference of opinion about إِذَا جَاءَ لَيْلَةِ الْقَدْرِ, the Surah of Al-Qadr, إِنَّ أَنزَلْنَاهُ فِي لَيْلَةِ الْقَدْرِ, and also Surah Al-Zalzalah, إِذَا زُلْزِلَتِ الْأَرْضُ زِلْزَالَهَا. And there are two different opinions about those two particular surahs, whether they're Meccan or Medinian, between Ibn Abbas and some of the other early Mufassirin. Otherwise, there's a very Meccan character to the surahs that were revealed or included at the end of the Mus'haf. So we're going to look at some of those surahs, beginning with Surah Al-Duha. وَهُوَ قَوْلُهُ تَعَالَى أَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ الرَّجِيمِ بِسْمِ اللَّهِ الرَّحْمَنِ الرَّحِيمِ والضحى والليل إذا سجى ما ودعك ربك وما قلى وللآخرة خير لك من الأولى ولسوف يعطيك ربك فترضى ألم يجدك يتيما فآوى ووجدك ضالا فهدى ووجدك عائلا فأغنى فأما اليتيم فلا تقهر وأما السائل فلا تنهر وأما بنعمة ربك فحدث. So Surah Al-Duha, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as we have seen in some of the preceding surahs, especially in this juz, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, here this is Waw al-Qasam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala yahlif, yani this is a type of oath that Allah makes with some of His creation, and only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is entitled to do that. So previous surahs we had وَالشَّمْسِ وَضُحَاهَا, also talking about the duha in Surah Al-Shams, وَاللَّيْلِ إِذَا يَغْشَى, Surah Al-Layl, and here we have Surah Al-Duha. And the duha is the time of day when the sun is its most powerful, according to some of the Mufassirin, or that time of day between sunrise and high noon, between the zawal. So we have Salat al-Duha, for example, the prayer that is done typically after the Hal al-Nafila, which is 15 minutes after the sun has risen, up until the time of Dhuhr, the Duha prayer can be performed. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala swears by the light and the illumination of al-Duha. So it can be understood metaphorically also, which we'll see in a second. وَاللَّيْلِ إِذَا سَجَى, وَاللَّيْلِ إِذَا سَجَى, and the night, also by the night. إِذَا سَجَى, يعني إِذَا سَكَنَى. So سَجَى means sukoon, and the stillness of the night, or by the night and its stillness. So here the contrast between al-duha, between illumination, and then the night and its stillness. What is the munasabah? What is the connection of those two verses with which comes after? مَا وَدَّعَكَ رَبُّكَ وَمَا قَلَى. So according to the seerah of the Prophet Muhammad ﷺ, he received his first revelation in the mountain cave of Ghar Hira. And this is also Surah Al-Alaq, which will come later, when the Archangel Jibreel comes to the Prophet ﷺ and says to him, اِقْرَأْ, read. فَقَالَ مَا أَنَا بِقَارِئْ, he said, I'm certainly not a reader. And he said this three times until he shook him a little violently. and said, "Iqra bismi rabbika alladhi khalaq," the first verses that of the Quran that were revealed to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So after that initial encounter with Jibreel alayhi salam, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then there was what's called fratat al-wahi or inqita al-wahi, that there was a lapse in the wahi, and according to some of the seerah, it was about 2.5 years. So the Quraysh saw this or got wind of this, perhaps referring to that initial lapse or something that came later, Allahu A'lam. But then they said to him, your Lord has left you and he has waqalaka, he has despised you, or he has forsaken you. So this surah then was nazalat, this surah then was revealed as a response to the Quraysh, who made this outlandish claim about the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He said, "Oh, this wahi that you got, your Lord has now abandoned you and forsaken you." Ma wadda'aka rabbuka wa ma qala. So there was the duha, the initial wahi, the illumination of that. Then there was sukoon. Wal layli idha saja. Right? And the Quran was revealed to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam munajjaman, which means over a period of time, periodically, over 23 years. And the Quran mentions the reason for this, liyuthabbitu bihi fu'adak, so that your heart can have tathbit, right? That as the ayahs are revealed, then it becomes part of who you are. Till the degree that Aisha radiallahu anha has said about the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, kana khuluquhu al-Qur'an. His character was the Qur'an. So that took time. That happened over a period of time. مَا وَدَّعَكَ رَبُّكَ وَمَا قَلَى وَلَلْآخِرَةُ خَيْرٌ لَكَ مِنَ الْأُولَى. And certainly the akhirah, right, the next life, the hereafter, خَيْرٌ لَكَ مِنَ الْأُولَى, which is what you're in now. So even though you may suffer this abuse, Rasulullah, and you may suffer this reaction from your own people, وَلَلْآخِرَةُ خَيْرٌ لَكَ مِنَ الْأُولَى. What was coming will be much better than what you are going through right now. وَلَسَوْفَ يُعْطِيكَ رَبُّكَ فَتَرْضَى. This sometimes is referred to as the most hopeful verse in the Quran by some of the ulama. وَلَسَوْفَ يُعْطِيكَ رَبُّكَ فَتَرْضَى. And certainly, وَلَسَوْفَ, and certainly your Lord will give you يُعْطِيكَ, and you will be contented. They say this is the most hopeful verse because the Prophet ﷺ would not be contented except that all of the people of his ummah are to be forgiven and to enter paradise. And here, even the verb yu'ati, a'ta yu'ati, to give, doesn't have a direct object, doesn't state, well, what exactly would the Prophet ﷺ be given? So when it's left open-ended like this, then the answer is open-ended, then it could be anything and everything. So it includes both this life and the things he was given in this life. He was given the ummah, he was made the last prophet. All of the earth was made the masjid for him and also a source of purity. He was given the victory at Badr. He was given the Fath Mecca and Nasr in this life. He was given his teachings had spread well throughout the Arabian Peninsula during his lifetime and then well above and beyond. And here we are 1450 or so years later, and we are still speaking about this deen and still teaching it and still learning it and still practicing it, and all of that is a great ata', right? That's a great gift that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave to this ummah and gave to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. وَلَسَوْفَ يُعْطِيكَ رَبُّكَ فَتَرْضَى. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reminds the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam of the blessings that he has. أَلَمْ يَجِدِكَ يَتِيمًا فَآوَى. Did he not find you as an orphan? فَآوَى, right? And then he took you in. فَآوَى, he gave you مَأْوَى, he gave you a place. And this happened throughout his life. His father died while he was still in the womb of his mother. His mother died when he was about 4 or 5 years old. And then he went into the care of his grandfather, Abdul Muttalib. And then when he's about 12 or so, his grandfather, Abdul Muttalib, dies. And he goes into the care of his uncle, Abu Talib. And some of the ulama say that the reason that the Prophet ﷺ didn't have kind of that type of male figure in his life, or like a father was with him throughout, is because so that he would not be indebted to anyone after that. And he also left no male heirs, the Prophet ﷺ. So all of his sons died in their infancy and they did not live on. So as if that's kind of one of the hallmarks of his particular nubuwwah, of his prophethood, of his prophecy, so that it could be solely for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that the ummah also can be solely for him. أَلَمْ يَجِدِكَ يَتِيمًا فَآوَى وَوَجَدَكَ ضَالًّا فَهَدَى. Here, ضَالًّا, يعني الضلال, doesn't have to mean misguided in terms of deen, but the ulama, the mufassirin, they said it means that he was not aware of all of the things, obviously, that were revealed in the Qur'an before his nubuwwah, before his prophecy, before his prophethood. So he was in that state. He was not a mushrik, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He never worshipped another god. He never had anything but tawheed in his heart from his infancy, as was the case with all of the prophets and messengers. But he still needed a path towards his Lord. وَوَجَّهَكَ ضَالًا. So you were not in that path. فَهَدَى. Then he guided you to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to himself, yani. وَوَجَّهَكَ عَائِلًا. فَأَغْنَى. Right? وَجَدَكَ عَائِلًا فَأَغْنَى. عَائِلًا means in need, and sometimes it means those who have many responsibilities in terms of children to take care of. And certainly there is no one who had more responsibility than the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, because we are all his children, so to speak. All of the members of the ummah are like his children. وَوَجَدَكَ عَائِلًا فَأَغْنَى. Right? And then he gave you self-sufficiency. Right? And he made the rizq of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and Ahlul Bayt Muhammad kafafa. He made the sustenance enough for them. Right? He was not rich or wealthy by means, in terms of what you find with some of the other Sahaba, Sayyidina Uthman and Abdurrahman ibn Auf and Sayyidina Abu Bakr as-Siddiq, but he was wealthy in terms of meaning. He was not in need of anyone. وَوَجَدَكَ عَائِلًا فَأَغْنَى فَأَمَّا الْيَتِيمَ فَلَا تَقْهَرْ. Then we see three commands that correspond to the three blessings that the Prophet ﷺ was given. So when it says, أَلَمْ يَجِدِكَ يَتِيمًا فَأَوَى, were you not an orphan, then the orphan is mentioned again. So, فَأَمَّا الْيَتِيمَ فَلَا تَقْهَرْ. Right? Do not overwhelm the yatim, do not overwhelm the orphan. They are to be taken care of. You know, the Prophet ﷺ said, أَنَا وَكَافِرُ الْيَتِيمِ كَهَاتَيْنِ. He said, me and the one who takes care of the orphan are like these two fingers, yani this close in paradise or this close in meaning. So then the orphans should be given their due, given their right, and if they have their own independent wealth, that should not be taken away from them. Surah An-Nisa talks about kafil yatim and how you should not take their wealth and put it with your wealth, but it's independently theirs. So all of those meanings are intended here. فَأَمَّا الْيَتِيمَ فَلَا تَقْهَرْ وَأَمَّا السَّائِلَ فَلَا تَنْهَرْ. Here is السَّائِلَ could mean the one who's asking in terms of monetary need, which would line up with the previous verse, وَوَجَدَكَ عَائِلًا فَأَغْنَى, that you or need, and Allah أَغْنَاكَ, He gave you what you needed. Or it could mean السائل in terms of الدين والعلم. Someone is asking about the deen, someone is looking for guidance. فَلَا تَنْهَرْ وَأَمَّا السَّائِلَ فَلَا تَنْهَرْ. In either case, لَا تَنْهَرْ, لَا تَنْهَرْهُ, right? Do not revile them. So whether they are an asker or a seeker, seeking alms, seeking charity, do not revile them. And the Prophet ﷺ, Anas ibn Malik said about him, كان لا يكون لا أو كاد لا يكون لا. It's almost like he never said no. So when the Prophet ﷺ did have to not give someone what they were seeking, he would do it in a way that was gentle and polite and بخير, not in a reviling way. So any سائل, it means أما السائلة, someone who's seeking, who's sincerely seeking either knowledge or something that is of their need, of their alms, of charity, فَلَا تَنْهَرْ, do not revile them. And they said there was a woman, كَانَ فِي عَقْلِهَا شَيْءٍ, there was a woman, something, you know, about her that was a little bit off, but nonetheless she came to the Prophet ﷺ and had some needs, and he said, in any of the pathways of Medina, I'll walk with you and we'll talk about what you need. And he did that, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. وَأَمَّا بِنِعْمَةِ رَبِّكَ فَحَدِّثْ. And as for the blessing of your Lord, فَحَدِّثْ, يعني فَحَدِّثْ عَنْهُ, then speak about it. So this can mean actually as we see here, the ni'mah itself. The blessing that you have, then show your gratitude for it by this tahdith. This tahdith could be tahdith in nafs. It could be you speaking in yourself. In other words, count your blessings, think about how grateful you are, things about the things that you should be grateful for. فَحَدِّثْ بِهَذَا الشَّكْلِ. Or they said, if you are in a position of leadership or of someone that of authority or respect that people look up to, like a teacher or a sheikh or alim or something like that, then it's permissible to speak about the ni'mah, speak about the blessings that you've received from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, so that people can follow your example. And what is forbidden is to speak about the blessing in a way that is haughty and arrogant, and in a way to cause injury to others by the way that you speak about it. Wallahu ta'ala a'la wa a'lam. So we'll move on to the next surah, Surah Al-Sharh, wa huwa qawluhu ta'ala. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Alam nashrah laka sadrak wa wada'na 'anka wizrak alladhi anqadha dhahrak wa rafa'na laka dhikrak fa inna ma'al 'usri yusra inna ma'al 'usri yusra fa idha faragta fansab wa ila rabbika farghab. Here, alam nashrah laka sadrak, have we not expanded your sadr, have we not expanded your breast or your chest? Here, this is not to be understood literally, but understood metaphorically, figuratively. And in the Quran, we have sharh al-sadr al-islam. فَمَنْ يُرِدْ لَوْ أَنْ يَهْدِيَهُ يَشْرَحْ صَدْرَهُ لِلْإِسْلَامِ. So the one that Allah chooses to guide, He will expand their chest for Islam. In other words, expand it, yani open their horizons or expand their horizons so they can receive the message of Islam, the message of the teachings of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And there's also kind of an indication here that if you don't have that in shirah, then you have diq, because the opposite of sharh is diq. Diq means to be a constriction. And so if your heart is not open for the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for supplicating to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, knowing that he huwa al-ghani wa anta al-faqir, you are the one who is in complete need of him and he is the one who is completely self-sufficient, if your heart is not open to all of these things, then you have diq. Right? Whoever turns away from the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will have this isha dank, difficult and narrow and constricted life that they'll have. So the dhikr of Allah, the teachings of the Prophet ﷺ open you up. And this here is addressed to the Prophet ﷺ. وَوَضَعْنَا عَنْكَ وِزْرَكَ. Right? الْوَضَعْ عَنَ الشَّيْءِ versus الْوَضَعْ عَلَى الشَّيْءِ. الْوَضَعْ عَلَى means to put something on, something heavy. وَضَعْتُ عَنْهُ هَذَا الشَّيْءِ means I lifted that burden. So they lifted the burden of the wizr. Wizr can mean sin, it can mean ithim, like the verse in the Quran that's revealed at least twice. وَلَا تَزِرُ وَازِرَةٌ وِزْرَ أُخْرَى وَلَا تَزِرُ وَازِرَةٌ وِزْرَ أُخْرَى. And no burden shall carry the burden of another. So here in the case of the Prophet ﷺ, he is sinless, he's infallible like all of the prophets, both before prophecy and after. وَوَضَعْنَا عَنْكَ وِزْرَكَ. So it means the thiqal, right, the heavy burden that you will have to carry as part of your nubuwwah, as part of your mission to the ummah of Islam, both ummah al-da'wah, ummah al-istijabah, the ummah of da'wah, the ones that you are still calling to the deen, and the one who have already answered the deen in terms of knowledge and teaching. وَضَعْنَا عَنْكَ وِزْرَكَ. So any taqseer, right, any shortcomings or failings in that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَضَعْ عَنْكَ هَذَا الشَّيْءِ. He has lifted that from you. الَّذِي أَنْقَضَ ظَهْرَكَ. Which wizard is that? Which burden? الَّذِي أَنْقَضَ ظَهْرَكَ, which means literally broke your back or is breaking your back. Again, to be understood figuratively, because literally that's never happened. It doesn't apply to the Prophet ﷺ. So, يعني the ثِقَلْ حِمْلِ الرِّسَالَةِ, right? إِنَّ سَنُلْقِي عَلَيْكَ قَوْلًا ثَقِيلًا. Surah Al-Muzammil, right, in the previous verse. إِنَّ سَنُلْقِي عَلَيْكَ قَوْلًا ثَقِيلًا. We are going to reveal to you a heavy word. There's a heaviness about the risala, a heaviness about this mission, a heaviness about being in service in general, right? This applies not just to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu, but anyone who is in the service of others, you will find at times there is a heaviness to it, right? There is, and the heaviness is not from all the things that you have to do, but the heaviness can be from شِدَّةِ التَّعَلُّقْ وَالْحِرْصِ, يعني being so interested and connected to the guidance of the ones that you're trying to serve, or to be in the service of the ones that you're trying to serve, and yet they reject, or they don't appreciate, or they don't understand the magnitude of what it is that you're trying to have them reach. That is where the thiqal comes. That's where the heaviness comes in. And that's what was the heaviness for the Prophet ﷺ, right? That verse in Surah Al-Kahf. وَلَعَلَّكَ بَاخِعٌ نَفْسَكَ عَلَىٰ آثَارِهِمْ إِنْ لَمْ يُؤْمِنُوا بِهَذَا الْحَدِيثِ أَسَفًا. And then Allah gives solace to the Prophet ﷺ. فَإِنَّهُمْ لَا يُكَذِّبُونَكَ وَلَكِنَّ الظَّالِمِينَ بِآيَاتِ اللَّهِ يَجْحَدُونَ. They know you're not a liar, but they're denying the verses of Allah, the signs of Allah, because of the repercussions it has on their power and their prestige and their status and so forth. وَرَفَعْنَا لَكَ ذِكْرَكَ. And we have raised you in remembrance. Yeah, there's no truer verse in the Quran. All the verses are true, but this is this is mushahad, we see every day. The remembrance of the Prophet ﷺ has been raised because we almost certainly don't mention the name of Allah except also mentioning the name of the Prophet Muhammad ﷺ. So, ash-shahadatin, right? We say the two testifications of faith. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah. So those two go together. In the adhan, we say both. So whoever obeys the Prophet, the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, has also obeyed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. فَقَارَنَ إِسْمُهُ بِإِسْمِهِ. Right, so he made them linked forever. The name of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. فَرَفَعْنَا لَكَ ذِكْرَكَ. His name has been raised in remembrance. فَإِنَّ مَعَ الْعُسْرِ يُسْرًا. And verily with hardship is ease. So ma'ahina means with. It could mean right after or accompanies it. فَإِنَّ مَعَ الْعُسْرِ يُسْرًا. And then it seems like the verse is repeated. Because the first one with al-fa' فَإِنَّ مَعَ الْعُسْرِ يُسْرًا. Then إِنَّ مَعَ الْعُسْرِ يُسْرًا. So the ulama said, and also this is one of the hadith that was narrated upon the Prophet ﷺ, لَا يَغْلِبُ الْعُسْرُ يُسْرَيْنِ. That one usr cannot defeat two yusr. So usr means hardship, yusr means ease. So that's an established fact. With hardship comes ease. But what is the relationship of those two? Well, in Arabic language, al-alif lam, lil-ta'rif wa lil-ahd, which means the hardship that's being talked about in verse 5 is the same hardship that's being mentioned in verse 6. They're not two different hardships. But the yusr, which doesn't have alif lam, which is nakira, indicates it's two different types of yusr. So there's a type of ease that comes with hardship, and then there's another type of ease that comes with hardship. Well, what type of ease comes with hardship? Perhaps the muthabara was sabr, right? The muthabara and the sabr, which is the patience and fortitude and forbearance that people may show when the hardship comes about. That's the type of ease, because it helps you deal with the situation. And then perhaps another type of ease is when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala actually lifts that hardship from you, and the hardship goes away. And then another type of ease comes in the terms of shukr and gratitude, right? And you say, Alhamdulillah, الذي أذهب عني هذا الشيء أو أصرف عني هذا السوء. And you praise to the one who has removed this evil, removed this difficulty or hardship from me. And then if he grants you patience in the beginning, then those are the two eases that come with the hardship. But even after that, فَإِذَا فَرَغْتَ فَانْصَبْ. Right? فَإِذَا فَرَغْتَ. So even if you have moved on from whatever that thing was, whether if it's an act of worship or whether it was some sort of khidmah and service, فَانْصَبْ. فَانْصَبْ يعني still be ever toiling away, even that you may become tired. And then النصب يعني to be tired. So it means continue. فَإِذَا فَرَغْتَ. So then you find you have a space, then continue, right? Because this is how this dunya is supposed to be. It's supposed to be one thing after the other, one thing of service and devotion and of and love and mahabbah and service and compassion and mercy. These are the meanings that the Prophet ﷺ came with. فَإِذَا فَرَغْتَ فَانْصَبْ. Then continue. وَإِلَى رَبِّكَ فَارْغَبْ. Right? And to your Lord, إِلَى رَبِّكَ فَارْغَبْ. Then you should seek. So continue to seek your Lord. Even if difficulties come about, know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will grant you, inshaAllah, ease, either in terms of fortitude and patience and sabr. Right? And they say, الأجر على قدر النصب, that you will be rewarded according to how difficult you found it. And then also, عند الفرج, when Allah gives you that opening and grants you that ease by lifting that burden from you. So let's look at the surah after that, Surah At-Teen. هو قوله تعالى بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والتين والزيتون وطور سينين وهذا البلد الأمين لقد خلقنا الإنسان في أحسن تقويم ثم رددناه أسفل سافلين إلا الذين آمنوا وعملوا الصالحات فلهم أجر غير ممنون فما يكذبك بعد بالدين أليس الله بأحكم الحاكمين بلى ونعم ذلك من الشاهدين والتين والزيتون. So just like Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala qasama or aqsama billayl wa bidduha, here it's with something of his creation also, at-teen wa zaytun. So the teen is the fig and the zaytun is the olive, the fig and the olive. And there are some ahadith that talk about the properties of teen and the properties of zaytun. We know that there is nothing that has been created by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala except that it has some sort of benefit. So Allah has put benefits in this. And very much the prophetic medicine of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is food as medicine. So food as medicine. So there are certain properties within each of these fruits, and especially the ones mentioned in the Quran, that there is a type of shifa from ada', there's a type of healing from a particular malady. And it said some of the hadith mentioned that teen has that. Figs help with gout and help with hemorrhoids and help with other maladies that are mentioned in the hadith of the Prophet ﷺ. And the zaytun comes from the shajara al-mubarakah, al-shajara al-mubarakah, the blessed tree. And the blessed tree is the olive tree that many of the mufassirin have talked about, the zaytun. And the zaytun also, the oil from the olive or the olive oil also has highly medicinal properties, and it has been for many people who live around the Mediterranean basin. Olive oil is a essential ingredient for much of what they do in terms of cooking and serving their meals and their food. And the best olive trees in the world by consensus are those in Palestine. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give them the fortitude and the sabr and the yusr that comes with this usr. إِنَّهُ لِيُّ ذَلِكَ وَالْقَادُرُ عَلَيْهِ وَانْصُرُهُمْ عَلَىٰ عَدُوِّهِمْ وَعَدُوِّكَ وَعَدُوِّ الْخَلْقِ أَجْمَعَ إِنَّهُ لِيُّ ذَلِكَ وَالْقَادُرُ عَلَيْهِ وَطُورِ سِينِينَ وَطُورِ سِينِينَ وَهَذَا الْبَلَدِ الْأَمِينَ. So طُورِ سِينِينَ, also سِينِينَ means not years, but it means سِينَاء, so the Sinai. So the Tour of Sinai, which is where Musa alayhi salam naja rabbahu, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala spoke to Musa, Kalimullah alayhi salam, wa hadha al-balad al-amin. So Allah swearing by these two things as well. And these Mecca, hadha al-balad al-amin, Mecca, which is the abode of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi salam, and then where Musa received the wahi from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Tur Sinin. So as you can see, Allah only swears by great things. Wat-teen wa-zaytun, وطور سينين وهذا البلد الأمين. Right, he described as البلد الأمين. Right, this is the city of أمانة, this is the city of أمن, the city of security and safety, or it will be, as it was when the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم فتح مكة and the conquest of Mecca. لقد خلقنا الإنسان في أحسن تقويم. Surely we have created the insan, here the category of human being, yani all human beings, fi ahsani taqweem, right? At taqweem, qawwamahu taqweeman, so in the best of forms and of shapes. So he gave human beings the ability to stand upright. We have dexterity with our fingers and with our thumbs, and we can pick up small objects, the eyes by which we see, the ears by which we hear, all of these things, ahsani taqweem, hatta idha balagha ashuddah, right? Until you reach the age of your majority, all of these things come together, and that's generally described as around 40 years of age. ثُمَّ رَدَدْنَاهُ أَسْفَلَ سَافِلِينَ. But also, keep in mind, رَدَدْنَاهُ أَسْفَلَ سَافِلِينَ, that there will be a deterioration of this أَحْسَنِ تَقْوِيمِ. So even though you're created in this, in health and in vigor and in youth and so forth, that doesn't last forever, because this dunya is not lasting forever. So these things eventually deteriorate. until you reach أرضى للعمر for some people, أو الحرم, right? أرضى للعمر means يعني the decrepitude of old age, أو الحرم. And then all of the things that you used to have slowly go away. And that is the sunnah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this life. Everything has a beginning and everything has an end. إِلَّا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِنُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ فَلَهُمْ أَجْرٌ غَيْرُ مَمْنُونَ. So according to that tafsir, here the istithna has to be munqata, which means it doesn't mean except for, right? Because everyone is going to go through their old age if they reach that. So even the believers will not be accepted from that. But it means rather the believers, even though that they may go through this period of their life, there will be a renewed life that comes after. For whom? إِلَّا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِنُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ. Right, those who believe and do the righteous works, فَلَهُمْ أَجْرٌ غَيْرُ مَمْنُونَ. Right, they will have an ajr award without bounds. So they will not be taken into task for. It will be given by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala freely. فَمَا يُكَذِّبُكَ بَعْدُ بِالدِّينِ. Right, then what is left for you to deny after seeing all of these signs, after even within yourselves? Right, وَفِي الْأَرْضِ آيَاتٌ لِلْمُوقِنِينَ وَفِي أَنفُسِكُمْ أَفَلَا تُبْصِرُونَ. There are signs on the earth and there are signs within yourselves and signs within the heavens. فَمَا يُكَذِّبُكَ بَعْدُ بِالدِّينِ. Right? It's a question, but it's actual su'al inkari. Right? It's a question, but it is censuring question. فَمَا يُكَذِّبُكَ بَعْدُ بِالدِّينِ. How could you possibly deny after this of the deen? أَلَيْسَ اللَّهُ بِأَحْكَمِ الْحَاكِمِينَ. This is also a question, but يعني تقرير. يعني it is indeed the case. أَلَيْسَ اللَّهُ Is Allah not أَحْكَمِ الْحَاكِمِينَ? Is He not the best judge of all judges? Is He not the best in all of the things that He does? Or it could be from the hikmah. Is He not the wisest of all the wise? Certainly He is. And that's why when we recite this surah, the Prophet ﷺ used to recite, بَلَى وَأَنَا عَلَى ذَلِكَ مِنَ الشَّاهِدِينَ. بَلَى means answering this question that's posed in the negative, in the affirmative, which means certainly هُوَ أَحْكَمِ الْحَاكِمِينَ. وَأَنَا عَلَى ذَٰلِكَ مِنَ الشَّاهِدِينَ. And I am from those who bear witness to that. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us be of the ones who bear witness to the hikmah and the rahmah and the jamal and the jalal of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in all times and all places. Alhamdulillah, these past 30 days of Ramadan have been inshallah beneficial and illuminating for all of us, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept all your fasting and your praying and your zakat al-fitr and all of the good works that you do in this month. Inshallah, may it continue into the next month, not just for Ramadan, but also Shawwal and Dhul Qa'dah and Dhul Hijjah and beyond. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala lift up trials and tribulations from all of our brethren, whoever it may be, especially our brothers and sisters in Palestine, in Al-Ard Al-Mubarakah, the blessed land, as described by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, الَّذِي بَارَكْنَا حَوْلَهُ لِنُرِيَهُ مِنْ آيَاتِنَا إِنَّهُ هُوَ السَّمِيعُ الْبَصِيرُ. وَالْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ وَصَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَى سَيِّدِنَا مُحَمَّدٍ النَّبِيِّ الْأُمِّيِّ وَعَلَى آلِهِ وَصَحْبِهِ أَجْمَعِينَ. وَالسَّلَامُ عَلَيْكُمْ وَرَحْمَةُ اللَّهِ وَبَرَكَاتُهُ.